Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. Could be dangerous, couldn't it, handing it all over to me, but there you go. Okay, so as Chris said, maybe I should say one or two words. First of all, it's lovely to be here. It's always great to meet with God's people on a Sunday morning, well, any time really, but you know, particularly on that Sunday morning. It's also just good to meet new folk, see folk I've not seen before. My name is Paul. I'm married to Lynn. We have three grown-up children, and we have four grandchildren. I know I don't look old enough, but it's the way it is, you know. My daughter and her husband with three boys lives in Sheffield, and my son, his wife and one grandson lives in Cheltenham. And our daughter is just actually moving. She's been living with us up in Buckley, and she's within the next 10 days moving to Ellesmere Port, where she works with the church in Chester. But my wife and I, we work with a mission organisation, another mission link there with WEC International. I don't know if you've heard of WEC. It's not great at making itself known, but it's quite a big mission organisation. We work with them. My wife works on the member care side now. I work with the youth and the camps teams. We started working together on the youth and camps, where we were running world adventure programs, holiday club type stuff for weekends for churches, and we run summer camps. We've run two online camps, unfortunately, but next year we are praying that we will be in a field with real tents. We start with just a field, hedges, and they are real tents, and we should be over in Cromer. So we are trusting this virus eases. The Lord sees us there in a field next year. Very briefly, we were based at the headquarters, which was in Gerrards Cross in South Bucks. WEC decided to sell that and move the units that were there around the country. And I won't go into all the details, but we ended up moving up here looking for an office somewhere along the M56 corridor. And we were just nudged further west. We started looking in Stockport and that area, and it moved to Warrington, and then it moved over to sort of Widnes area, and then eventually we got nudged into Chester, and then we got nudged across the border and we fell into Wales. And so we've got an office in Sandycroft. So then we had to find accommodation, and we looked all around the place and whatever, and we ended up in Buckley. So we're right at the top of the hill. When you come through the Pelican Lights, you've got as you're coming up the hill, there's a main road there, and then we're just in a little cul-de-sac down the side there. We visited various churches. Actually, we never came here. Why didn't we not come here? Because we did end up going to Ebenezer Mould for a time and discovered they were doing a church plant up in Buckley. So we've got involved in that. And when I'm not out and about, I'm usually with Grace Church Buckley that meets in the Hawkesbury Community Centre, which is by the bowling green. So in a nutshell, I could talk too long, couldn't I? Time's moving. Let's move on. So that's just a little bit about me and the background. So working with WEC, got a family, and great to see people meeting together again. Actually, it's been life on Zoom. I don't find life on Zoom not so great. So it's good. Let's read the scriptures. I'm going to not the bit that's in front of you. You can sit and listen to this, unless of course you've got your own Bibles. But just by way of introduction. And I just didn't put a little marker in this one. But I'm going to read just a few verses from Psalm 95 before we sing that great hymn, Tell Out My Soul. A superb way to start this morning. But Psalm 95 says this: Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before him with thanksgiving. Extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it. His hands formed dry land. Come, come, let us bow down in worship. Let's kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. That's great. So, Chris, we stand and sing, but we sing through our masks. So we bless Mr. Drakeford that he allows us to sing now, do we? Excellent. That's good. I really did feel I might have to go and see him about that, but there we are. Yeah. Let's stand and let's sing this great hymn together. Presence this morning to worship you and to praise you, because you are indeed great. Our minds, our thoughts, our souls, our beings are amazed at your greatness. Father, we praise you. This morning we can sit in the presence of the living God, the God who created the world. The mountains are yours. The rivers, the seas are yours, as we read earlier. You are the one who put the stars in their place. You put the planets orbiting around those suns. You created our world. Awesome and great is your power. And we worship you because there is no greater being in our universe, in our world, that exists at all, really, than you. But we also want to thank you and praise you this morning because you are our loving Heavenly Father. In your love, in your mercy, in your goodness, you have reached down to us. You sent the Lord Jesus, your one and only Son, to take away the sin which was filling our lives, to pay the price for the wrong that we had done on that cross. But you didn't leave him on the cross. You raised him from the dead, and now he reigns with you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father on high. And we thank you that this morning we can be called your people, your children. You are our Father. You, Lord Jesus, are our elder brother. and the Holy Spirit lives within us. And so we give you thanks and praise. We worship you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing again. Let's not stand and sing again just for a moment. We're going to read. We'll sing in a minute. We're going to read, we'll read verses 1 to 9 from Joshua chapter 1 on the piece of paper which you have. Let's read together. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And we'll be looking at that passage some other verses which surround it a little later on. Let's pray. Father, as we've come together into your presence this morning, we've acknowledged who you are. We've acknowledged your relationship with us. And one of the things which amazes us, one of the things which is so wonderful, is the fact that you want us to talk to you. You're not a God who sits on a mountain far away. You're not a God who sits up in the heavens and looks down on us and plots what we do. But you are a God who has invited us into a relationship with you through the Lord Jesus. And this morning we acknowledge that it is a privilege to be able to come to you and talk to you, to bring our requests, to bring the things that concern us before your very throne. And so, Father, we do that. Father, we do that this morning. Lord, as we look around our world, we see many situations that could cause our hearts to fear. We see many situations where there is desperate suffering, where there is tragedy, where there is war, where there is conflict. Lord, this morning we cry out to you. Lord, in your mercy, reach out across our world. Lord, there are many charities and organizations seeking to bring help. Many Christian charities, organizations seeking to bring help to very needy and troubled parts of the world. Lord, equip them. Provide what they need. Give them wisdom. And Lord, may they be your light in dark places. And Father, we know that the real answer to our world is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And Lord, there are many who are seeking to spread that word throughout the world, even at this time with the virus and everything else that's going on. Lord, again, we pray for those who are spreading the good news of Jesus. We pray for those who are translating the scriptures. We pray for those who are seeking to get your word out across the world. Lord, we pray that people, men, women, boys and girls, even this day, will come to know you and be drawn to your kingdom. And Lord, we know, I'm sure in this church, with Stephen involved in the things he's involved in, Lord, we know that there are groups of people who as yet haven't heard of Jesus. Lord, this morning we long that the good news would spread and that more people who've never heard that name would come to know and hear about the loving Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, even nearer home, Lord, there are things which trouble us. There are things which concern us. There are things we're not sure which way they should go. And so, Lord, we commit our country into your hands too. Lord, we do pray. Lord, we're not jumping down on one side of politics or another this morning. We're just coming to you and saying, Lord, there are those people who you've allowed to be in power. Our government, our Prime Minister, the Welsh Assembly, Mr. Drakeford and his team. Lord, we ask that you, in your goodness and your mercy, would give them the wisdom, the understanding that they need. Lord, that you would equip them to rule wisely and justly and fairly. And Lord, bring those things which are needed to our land at this time. And Lord, even for ourselves, we would pray for ourselves too this morning. For this church fellowship here, a light in, Lord, our country is a dark country in these days, but here is a light which is shining for you. Bless this fellowship, encourage and build them up. And Lord, many of us have needs too. Sometimes it's physical needs, sometimes it's pressure with different situations in our families. Lord, I don't know anything about any of the situations that folk here are facing this morning, but what I do know is I can commit them into your hands. Lord, asking that your love would surround each one, that your wisdom and grace would equip them and build them up in their time of need. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who answers our prayers. And so we pray confidently this morning, whether it's for our world or whether it's for ourselves. Lord, we bring our prayers to you. Lord, you know about the prayers that are in our hearts, the prayers that are in our minds, the prayers that we speak. Lord, we thank you for being a prayer-answering God. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us and will continue to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We are going to sing now. We're going to sing about that faithfulness. I love this hymn. This is a hymn that we used to sing in a little church that I grew up in Birmingham. I can see my grandfather at the front of the... It was one of my grandfather's favourites, and he often led the first part of the service. And I can see him now singing this hymn. We had one of those little organs. Sorry, I'm really digressing, but we had one of these little organs. I don't know whether some of you guys know, you sit on the thing and do this with the pedals, and it's and it's got some stops and stuff as well, but not a big pipe organ, but so we had one of those there, and there's my dad or somebody else would be playing that. But this is a great hymn. I'm not going a bit nostalgic, but I'm not really going there. This is for today. This is our great faithful God. Let's stand and sing his praise. Let's acclaim our great God this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Thanks. Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the words we've sung. Thank you for the reality and truth of them. Father, as we come to look at your word now, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us, unpack your word. Lord, the things which are of you from this morning's study, we ask that you'd write on our hearts. Lord, the things that are not of you, words that I say that are not for this morning, may they just pass out the door at the back. But Lord, we want to hear from you. Lord, encourage, challenge, bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just one little aside before we sort of dive into Joshua chapter 1. I go to different churches, and sometimes I choose the hymns, sometimes somebody else chooses the hymns. But it always gives me a little bit of a buzz. It just does something for me when somebody else has chosen the hymns, and they are so in line with where I feel God is taking us on a particular morning. And I just want to say, Chris, that yeah, we've had two great hymns this morning. That hymn, I probably wouldn't have chosen that actually, because I don't know why different things are on my radar at the moment, but that hymn we've just sung is so in line with where we're going this morning. It's absolutely spot on, and I just praise the Lord because it just shows that God's there. I don't need to say any more actually. I'll just sit there and no, I'll carry on. Just for the Lord. Okay, so Joshua chapter 1. As we've said in our prayers of before, now I'm sure in your minds as well, we're in a sort of time at the moment. I feel this with the ministry I'm in, with WEG. I feel it in the church that we belong to. I feel it in our society that we're, as these, the virus has changed a lot of things, but as the restrictions ease, there is a sense of moving on to a new phase. What will the new phase look like? What will it look like for a church? What will it look like for our organisation? What will it look like, in society? Individually, corporately, we seem to be moving into, I just sense of moving into a new phase in our lives. And we're living in a very uncertain world. We've lived in an uncertain world for many years, you'll say to me. And you're absolutely right. This turmoil, this chaos, people don't know what to do, people are a bit here and a bit there. There's all that sort of thing. We prayed about it. We've got wars, we've got conflicts, we've got poverty, we've got injustice, we've got many terrible situations. There's ethical issues that we're wrestling over. And this fear of global warming and what that might mean. Should we be surprised? By the way, I don't want to depress you all this morning. We will come on to something a bit more positive in a minute. But should we be surprised? Well, actually, I asked that question just a little while ago. A year ago or so. I don't know whether you know that hymn. You've seen that hymn here. Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. And in our time, revive the church that bears your name. It's one of the modern hymns, but it's not actually so modern now, it's probably about 20 years old. But in that it says, restore, O Lord, and then it says, come shake the earth again. And I'm thinking, if we Christians are singing for God to shake the earth, then, boy, it's happening. Should we be surprised? Personally, I don't know where you're at personally, I don't know anything about any of your backgrounds, but you might be facing uncertainty, pressure and challenges too. That's a bit the case in our family at the moment. We're just a number of things that are going on, but I won't bore you with the details. But yeah, it's a concern for a couple of our children with the situations that they're in, and not sure how it's all going to work out. So this morning we come to Joshua chapter 1. We come to Joshua chapter 1. And it's in that sort of context that I want us to look at this passage. I'm sure you all know this, but I'll tell you anyway. Joshua and the people of Israel were at a crucial point in their lives, in their journey, in the history of the Israelite people. They were on the banks of the River Jordan. They'd left Egypt 40 years ago. They'd travelled through the wilderness. They'd spent 38 years just outside that town called Kadesh Barnea. And all this was under the leadership of Moses. Moses had been the one who God had called to go to Pharaoh and to tell him to let the people go. And as we say, eventually they'd gone and this is where they are. And now they're here on the banks of the River Jordan. They can look across into what was called, for them, it was the promised land. It was the land that God was going to give them. But this chapter starts in a very blunt way. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, now, you know, here's Joshua, and he says to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, actually, Joshua knew that, because Moses had died. But Moses, my servant, is dead. It's not such great encouragement, is it, at that point in time? But it was at this point when Moses, the servant of the Lord, was dead. We'll look at Moses in just a minute. But it was at this point that God met Joshua and spoke very clearly and directly into the situation in which he found himself. He gave him some important things to think about and take on board. You see, Joshua was now the leader of the people. He was the one who was going to lead these people into the promised land. Joshua had been Moses' right-hand man. And now God was confirming to Joshua, you, Joshua, are the one who's going to take these people into the promised land and fulfill the promises through my help and my direction. You're going to be the one who leads the people so that the promises which I've made to you will be fulfilled. Moses, how did Joshua feel, I wonder, at this point? Moses was dead. I don't know what you think about Moses. Have we got time for a little bit of interaction? Just for a moment. What when I say Moses, what do you think about? Do you want to just shout through your masks?
Parting of the Red Sea.
Burning bush.
The walls of Jericho.
We haven't got there yet, that's Joshua. But yeah, okay. He knew that was going to happen.
He committed murder.
He did commit murder. Moses was not perfect. There's a few things that Moses got wrong.
Maybe in the bulrushes, sorry.
Yeah, he was found in the bulrushes. Moses, you're absolutely right. Moses was a human being. Moses mucked up some things big time. In fact, that's why God told Moses he wasn't going to be allowed into the promised land. He would see the promised land but not go in. But nonetheless, Moses was a great leader. I'm sure a lot of you know these things. You didn't expect me to do that, did you? Just drop that on you, right? And you're sitting there quietly behind your masks thinking, let's just take in what God's going to say this morning. And this guy gets up and wants you to say something. I won't be invited back, will I? Anyway, I'm here now. Let's just look a minute. Yes. Moses confronted Pharaoh, who said that. Moses led the people out of Egypt. Moses was the one whom God chose to reveal the law to. Remember the tablets of stone on Mount Sinai? Moses decided disputes when there was disagreement amongst the people. Moses listened to God. He went to the tabernacle, that tent that the children of Israel had, representing the presence of God. Moses went there and talked with God. It says of Moses, God said of Moses, I speak with Moses face to face, as a man speaks with a friend. And you know, in the New Testament, I won't ask you. Moses appears in the New Testament. Do you remember where? Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is transfigured. And there Elijah, representing the prophets, and Moses, representing the law, are with Jesus and the disciples, Peter, James and John. They see these guys from the Old Testament. So Moses is quite some guy. As I said, as Our friend over here said he gets things wrong. I agree. But what a guy. He's awesome. He's got big shoes to fill. I think Joshua felt a bit apprehensive. I think Joshua felt a bit inadequate. I think Joshua wondered, how was he going to lead the people in the way that Moses had led the people? So what does God say? So what does God say to him? Verses 6, verse 7 and verse 9. God says, be strong and courageous. Here is a command to be confident. God says, be strong and courageous. And alongside this command comes promises. Promises, you will inherit the land. And the promise, the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. A command alongside a promise. Joshua, as we've said, had been alongside Moses. He'd seen God perform mighty acts. He'd observed that relationship, Moses' relationship with God. But here, Joshua needs encouragement. He needs to be spurred on. Now, I want to just take a slight digression, but just to point this out. You will see from the reading that we just read that this command is repeated three times. It's there in verse 6, be strong and courageous because you'll lead the people to inherit the land. Verse 7, be strong and courageous and be careful to obey the law. And verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, I'm not a big one. I'm not a big person for numbers in the Bible. Some people see a lot of significance with numbers. I'm not big on this, but I do know that when something is repeated in Scripture, it's important. When you read something and you find it repeated, particularly in quick succession, it's important. If something appears three times, then you need to listen. You know, it's there for emphasis. So here, three times. But I want to tell you this. This command to be strong and courageous with a promise that goes with it does not only occur here in these verses here, but in this little passage of the Old Testament, the end of Moses' time and the beginning of Joshua's time, it doesn't appear just three times. It doesn't appear just six times. It appears seven times. Now, if it's something's three times, it's important. If it's six times, you better believe it. God is trying to say something to these people, and God is trying to say something to us. If it's seven times, some people say seven is the number of perfection. Maybe. But seven times is pretty important. Let me just fill you in, just in case you don't believe me. I don't know. Deuteronomy 31:6. I'll just give you these and you can look back. The first lot are in Deuteronomy 31. You can think of that and go back. The last one is at the end of chapter 1 of Josh. But here we go. Deuteronomy 31. Verse 6. Moses says this to the people as he tells them Joshua is going to lead them. In Joshua 31 and 7 and 8, Moses says this in front of the people. He tells them, he tells Joshua in front of the people to be strong and courageous. And in verse 33 of chapter 1, God himself speaks these words to Joshua while Moses is still alive. Then here in chapter 1, we have verse 6, verse 7 and verse 9. God speaking to Joshua. And then right at the end of this chapter, which you do have right at the bottom end of your page here, the people say the same words to Joshua. Do you think God is trying to get something through to this guy? Do you think God, by putting this at the end of Deuteronomy, the way we have the scriptures, and into the book of Joshua, is saying something to us in these days? There's different phrasing, but the main message is the same. There's different phrasing that goes with and different promises that go around that be strong and courageous. But the main message is the same. Be strong and courageous because I, God, am with you. And I go before you as you go to possess the land. It's repeated because it's important. Seven times. So what is this promise? The promise of God's presence. Now, I'm sure you all know this. If I'd have come or sent you an email or something or rung you up and talked about God, what's God promised us? Well, I'm sure some of you would have said, God's promised to be with us all the time. It's true. It's true. Be strong because I am with you, says God to Joshua. This is the assurance of God's presence. The assurance of success as they go into the land. Not because Joshua is some great wonder wizard guy, but because he has God's presence with him. And God gives Joshua something to latch on to. What does he say to Joshua in verse 5? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now, we've just talked about that, haven't we? A little bit. The sort of person Moses was. Think about this for a minute. Joshua had been with Moses right the way through as Moses had led the children of Israel. Joshua had been with Moses when God provided manna. The people needed to eat. Joshua had been with Moses when God provided the quail because the people were fed up with bread and they wanted some meat. Don't know what you're like, but I like my meat. And if we have too much bread and pizza and we don't have a lamb steak now and then, that's bad news. No, no. The people were, they wanted something to eat, didn't they? They wanted meat. Joshua was with Moses when God provided water. Water out of the rock. Joshua was with Moses in those battles where God brought victory. Joshua was with Moses when Moses went. Joshua waited in the doorway of the tabernacle while Moses went in and spoke and had that intimate communion with God. God had been with Moses in Egypt. God had been with Moses at the burning bush. God had been with Moses when he was up the mountain receiving the law. And as I said, Exodus 33 verse 11. God speaks with Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. This is real, deep encouragement for Joshua. It's strength, it's support, it's uplifting, it's building up. God says, this is how I will be with you. It's okay saying my presence goes with you. What does that mean? This is how. Look at that example. Look back and go forward. I think the message for Joshua here and the message for us at this point in time, as we are wondering how the future is going to unfold, what's going to happen as things unravel. We wait, is Mr. Drake going to say something more this week? And what will Boris come up with? We don't know. But what we do know, is that our God is going with us. We look back and go forward. God uses the past to encourage us. We draw strength as we look at our past experiences of God in our lives. Have you ever wondered why? In the Old Testament, as you read the Old Testament, you find that constantly God is saying to the Israelite people, I am the God who led you out of Egypt. I am the God who led you into the promised land. He's constantly saying that the children of Israel are doing this. Sometimes they're disobedient. Sometimes they're doing different things. But God constantly turns their eyes and he says, look, I'm telling you now this, this and this. But look back and you'll see that I can deliver the goods. I am true to my word. I am someone you can rely on. I am someone who has worked things through with you in the past. I am the God who brought you out of Egypt. I am the God who set you in the promised land. I am the one who defeated your enemies. I am the one who has raised up King David. I am the one who has seen victory, seeing you have victory in battle. Look back in order to go forward with confidence. I have a statement that's framed. Somebody once said this and it just really struck me. I think it's true. I have this statement on my desk in my office, framed, that my daughter, who does the calligraphy stuff, put down. And this is what it says. It says, "Our joy is in proportion to our trust. And our trust is in proportion to our knowledge of God." Just think about it for a minute. Our joy is in proportion to our trust. And our trust is in proportion to our knowledge of God. In other words, flipping that around, if we know God well, if we have taken the time to get to know God well, if we have absorbed what God is doing for us, saying to us, if we're able to look back at our lives and see and understand this journey that we have been on with God, the way he has led us, then our knowledge of God is good. And when we understand who God really is, then our trust and our confidence in him grows. And if our trust and confidence in him grows, even when we're facing quite tough and difficult situations, and we're maybe agonizing over this particular situation or that person or whatever it is, even in all of that, it's not saying that we're happy and we have smiles on our faces and we're going, hey, hey, hey. But no, the joy, the depth of joy in God, spiritual joy, is there. And that gives us that lightness of spirit. And it encourages us. And it builds us. And it enables us. This is how God has programmed that we face whatever we face. You see, I don't think Joshua, when God said, "You're going to lead the people," he went, "Yeah, great. Hey, come on, guys. I'm going to do this." I don't think he did that. As God spoke to him, I think he thought, "Boy, look what Moses went through. Look at the opposition." But hang on a minute. God led us through that wilderness. God gave us victory over our enemies. God miraculously provided food. I'm going to listen. I'm going to hear what God is saying. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to walk in his ways. Our joy is in proportion to our trust. Our trust is in proportion to our knowledge of God. And here in this passage, Joshua is instructed to obey the law, to study it, to absorb it, to meditate on it. That's the secret of being strong and courageous. That fact is that their trust and focus is in God. And that's the challenge for us as well. Get to know God. Study the Bible. I'm sure you do in this church. Somebody said, until you get to the point, if you've got a problem or a difficulty, until you get to the point where there is no obvious or avenue you can go down to reach a solution. In other words, if all the options have failed, like that lady who touched Jesus' garment, when all the options have failed and you do not know where to go, that is the point at which you know whether you really trust God or not. Because even in that thing, you've been here, might be medical and you've asked people all about this, or it might be financial and you've done this and that and the other, or it might be family situation and you've prayed about this and you've thought about this and you just don't know how it's going to go, there comes a point where you think, do you know something? I either believe God is in control, he's the sovereign God, or I just crack up, basically. I think there's a lot of truth in that. We're thankful, aren't we, that God doesn't take us into that situation too many times, maybe. Often, God will show us things, sometimes very practical things. This is how you can actually solve this, or this is how you can solve that. God will lead and guide. But there are those times, there are those real challenges where, do you know, we are so helpless. And sometimes it's not just individual, sometimes it's corporate. I've seen churches in this sort of situation, organisations, groups of Christians trying to work out this, work out that, whatever it is. So what does being strong, maybe just throw this in here, what does being strong and courageous actually mean? It doesn't mean we can take on the world, we'll sort it out. It doesn't mean, you know, it's not like the big gladiator or something, as I've just said. No, I think being strong and courageous in this context, it means our inner resolve, the depth of our being, it's our inner resolve to trust absolutely in the strength of God, in Him and in His presence, and the promise that He has made to us. It's all about God. It's not what we have, but it's God working through us. Let's just move on quickly. The focus of Joshua and the Israelite people here was God. It's interesting. It is interesting that in Deuteronomy chapter 31, do go back and read some of those verses later on today. God told the people that He was the one who was going to cross over the Jordan ahead of them. He was the one who was going to drive out the enemy, the tribes that were in the lands, the big fortified cities. He said, I'm going to deal with the people who are in the land. I'm going to go in there ahead of you. And then when I've done that, you can possess the land. So it isn't that Joshua has got to take his sword and be a big Goliath and say, hey, come on, guys, I'm ready to meet all challenges. No, God was already, had already promised He was going ahead of them. He was going ahead of them and He was going with them. And He was going to sort it all out. It's then that the Israelite people would take possession. In other words, the battle was already won. God has done what was necessary. The people simply had to obey and follow His instructions. It's a good exercise, not all the time, because we don't want to dwell in the past, even like I was getting a bit nostalgic with that hymn. But not all the time, but it is good every now and then to stop, pause, have a cup of coffee, or tea if you like it, and just think, just meditate on the journey that God has led you on. It will be an individual journey. Take that time. If you've got space this afternoon or this evening, just pause and take time to look at the journey God has taken you on and how He has been with you, and where there's different markers, different things, you think, yeah, that happened and He said this and we went and did that. Or, I was not sure about this and then God showed me this and so we went. Do you know, it is so encouraging, it is so uplifting, it is so... I don't know what you're facing, you guys. Some of you might be facing real tough times. I exhort you, look back in order to go forward. Right, there is a couple of things I just want to throw in before we round up tonight. Tonight? Have I been going on that long? This morning... No. This is important, I think, too. I just feel maybe you should just look at this. So look back over your journey. God doesn't change. God doesn't change. He will lead you in the same way. Now, when God gives us a promise, when God gives me a promise, when God gives you a promise, when God gives Joshua a promise like this, what do we do? What do we do? I just think that's an interesting question. I asked this at a Bible study a little while ago. It's quite interesting. So, well, we probably say, thank you, Lord. That's good, that's encouraging. To read the scriptures, cast your care upon Him, for He cares for you. My God will supply all your need. We say, thank you. Yeah, that's good, that's encouraging. But then what do we do? Do I sit back? Do I just... sit down and enjoy that and say, well, that's great, Lord. That's great, Lord. I think we should do something with it. I think we should do something with it. We should be asking the question, what does this mean for me? What should I say? What should I think? What should I do as a result of getting this promise? Now, In Hebrews chapter 13, we've got an example of that. And it's interesting because the promise that's given in, that's quoted in Hebrews 13 is this promise about the presence of God being with us. It's Hebrews 13, it's the second part of verse 5 and verse 6. For anybody who wants to look it up. Just Hebrews, the last chapter in Hebrews, part way down, verse 5 and 6, you'll see this. It's the therefore word. It's the therefore word. God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Therefore, we say, with confidence, what can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. That's Hebrews. In Hebrews, God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we say with confidence, and Joshua's answer was, I'm going to be strong and courageous. The answer in Hebrews is, therefore, I'm going to say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? In other words, we take the promise and we say, therefore, what does that mean for me? What should I be thinking? What should I be saying? What should I be doing as a result of this promise? And that is the next step, which into the future. Even if we're sitting in the chair, but we're thinking something that moves us forward in our thinking, then we will move forward in our actions, and we will move forward in what we say and how we relate to other people as well. So it's a principle. When we get the promise of God, when God says something to us that really encourages us, pause and say, so what does that mean for me? Therefore, I will do this, therefore I will say that. And it might be something like saying, therefore, I won't panic. Therefore, I won't run around like a headless chicken. Therefore, I will look to the Lord for peace, for strength, for wisdom, and I will trust him. And then move to the next thing, because God will say something to you. As you do that, God will say something else to you. I haven't got time to unpack that too much more. But just to say, the promise of God's presence with and in his people does not change. So therefore, we should be confident and we should move forward with him. So what does Joshua do? Well, it's on the verses that we didn't read, but just very quickly. Verse 10, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. 3 days. Joshua was confident. God had so encouraged him. God had given him these promises. Joshua is now confident, not in himself, not in his own strength, but he is confident that what God said, God will do. And therefore he has the confidence to go to his military leaders and say, guys, you need to get these guys ready. They're all sitting around on the bank here wondering what's going to happen. You get them ready, get the provisions ready, get the arms ready. Because 3 days' time, we are crossing that Jordan and we are going in. We don't know what we're going to face, but God is with us. In fact, God will have gone ahead of us. Now that's confidence. That's action following the promise of God. So let's just round things up a little bit. God commands us to be strong and courageous, to trust him in all things, to be obedient to what he says. It doesn't mean it's easy. God knows it isn't easy. God knows we are human. The scripture is full of people who have confidence in God but did not find it easy and from time to time struggled, maybe felt they let God down. Peter, I haven't got time. I could start naming names and go down illustrations. No, I won't do it. But you know. God's promise is that he will also be with us wherever we go. What a promise. What a promise. What more could we ask for? God's desire is to be with us at all times. Or perhaps better still, God's desire is that we are with him at all times. We mentioned it in our prayers. But it's true, isn't it? Through the work of our Lord Jesus, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, it's possible for God himself, the Holy Spirit, to live in us. And one day we're going to be with him forever. Now, I haven't got time because I'm slightly running over here, so we haven't got time to go into the Christian imagery, but you know, there are many of the old hymns talk about going into the promised land as a sort of an image of going into heaven. Because it's God, it's Jesus leading his people to that place where they are with him and enjoy his presence forever in a much deeper and a much fuller way than we do on this earth. Of course, I'm sure many of you know that Joshua and Jesus are actually the same name. They're different variations. They both mean Saviour. Joshua means Saviour. Jesus means Saviour. It's from the same root, just a variation there. So, as we move into the next phase of our lives, individually or as a church, let's focus on God. Let's obey his commands. Let's trust in his promises. Let's live by his word, the scriptures, and let's act in faith. Whatever situation we find ourselves, whatever sort of life we live now, let's do those things. God is saying to us, be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid, for I, the Lord your God, am with you. It was William Carey who said, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, if you want to check that I'm correct, he wrote this, Paul the Apostle, he wrote, our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory. Our God. I don't know how you feel this morning. I don't know whether you feel weak, whether you feel strong. I don't know. And it's not really about how we feel physically, though physical can obviously play a part in how we feel. But it's how we are spiritually, that inner resolve. This morning, God is saying, whatever our circumstances, however we feel, however inadequate perhaps we feel compared to how we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I don't know. But God is saying this, he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory. Why? Because his presence is with us. The promise is sure. And the command is to be confident in him. Amen. We're going to sing. We're going to stand and sing another great hymn, which is about the church. What God has done for his church and how the church stands firm. How we as God's people stand firm despite all that goes on around us in the world. It's like that, the chaos of the time of Joshua. But the people of God stand firm because they know their God. Let's stand and sing. The church is one foundation. Thank you. Yeah, now to him who is able to keep us from falling, to present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. 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 Amen.